What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday nights. You know what that means? A brand new episode of the Tan and J-Man Show is live on the ISC Sports Network, the ISC Sports Network's X channel, their Twitch channel, their YouTube channel, and the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page and YouTube channel. I'm Tanner Lee, back again with me this week after taking a week off, my loyal co-host, Josh the J-Man Munt.
J-Man.
J-Man. How's it going, J-Man?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good, man. Can't complain. We finally have some meaningful football going on this week.
Yes. Week zero, which unless my team's in it, I don't really watch all that much, but it's at least nice to. There's not any game day or anything this week, is there?
Unless they're going over to Ireland.
I don't know. I think they've done game day in the past, but man, I'm ready for like a crisp, cool fall morning game day on TV. Cannot wait.
We're getting there. I mean, week zero, like you said, unless your team's playing, you probably don't pay too close attention to it.
Yeah.
But it is a nice appetizer for what's coming from week one through the college football playoff.
Yeah. We're in like this gray area is what I called it, where if school's back in session, we now have, you know, preseason football. We have high school football starting up. We have, you know, week zero this week. Feels like it should be fall, but we're still in August and still 80 degrees. So I'm ready for the cooler weather.
Oh, it was cool here. It was fall weather here today.
It was nice. Yeah.
Fantastic.
It was nice.
You were saying, you know, we're school's back in session and we got high school football and everything. My wife's alma mater fired their coach already.
After how many games they played? One?
Lost 21-0. He was their coach for, I think, 8 seasons or maybe 6 seasons. I just heard it on the news. He was 24-28. But their interim head coach, you've heard of him. He was a stud at Notre Dame. Got to the NFL, had a lot of injuries. Jalen Smith.
Really? That's kind of
played at Bishop Lewers.
Yeah.
But he's been assistant coach at the Fort Wayne Northside, and he's going to take over for the rest of the year as head coach. So
that's pretty cool.
Age 31.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I remember his gruesome injury, which kind of started the opt-outs of bowls. He was kind
him
of
and Jake Butt. Guy.
Jake Butt as well, yes, tore his ACL. That's interesting. I wonder, something had to have happened more than just get taken an L.
I would think so. I would think so. But they got shut out by East Noble 21-0. So the season, the 2026 season for the Legends is not off the hot start. But
yeah.
So we'll see.
I have some birdie bogey here for you.
I got a feeling I got a bogey coming.
I debated which. So it's. How should I do this? Okay. So I have this list of NFL Hall of Famers by school. Originally, I was going to do what two schools are tied for the most Hall of Famers in the NFL. But I think I'm going to do, since we're doing our ACC preview, what ACC school has the most Hall of Famers in the NFL?
Ooh, in current day, right? It can't be any past ACC school. Like
correct.
A school that was in the ACC.
Current day. Schools that are currently in the ACC. What school has the most Hall of Famers all time? And Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place and Arlington Public House. Giretti's Place, small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
It doesn't look like the Arlington Public House had any specials over the weekend, but on Thursday night, they had a music bingo going on with $3 tacos and half-off margaritas. And then let's see if Dreddy's had anything for their weekend special.
You a fan of bingo?
Yeah, I'm not good at it, even though it's no skill.
I don't think there's any skill. My wife and I, one Valentine's Day, went to a bar and played bingo where you could win up to $6,000. And I think we were the only two people in the place that didn't get a bingo. So.
It was probably about 2 years ago with my wife and one of her friends and her friend's family went to a bingo hall here in Fort Wayne on a Friday night, maybe a Saturday night. A bunch of old people there. They take their bingo seriously.
Oh, yeah. It always takes me back to that Impractical Jokers one where South. They were getting so mad at him. They're about to riot.
Thursday through Saturday last week, or never mind. That was back on August 6th. Never mind. Dreddies did not have any new specials over the weekend. That was old. So, but go get anything on the menu at Dreddies or Arlington Public House, and you will not be disappointed. That's for sure. But got a lot of college football to talk about. We'll save that for later in the program. One NFL thing, news, I guess, to note is Cleveland Browns came out today and decided on a starter for week one against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they're going with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. It's just a bad situation there overall.
It does stink. It didn't matter what direction they're going.
I don't know if I'm trying to, I think any of the quarterbacks on that roster are not great solutions to anything. Deshaun obviously has the contract thing, which probably gave him maybe a leg up.
Worst trade in history of sports.
I would say, yeah.
I think so. With all the guaranteed money and all the first round draft picks lost. Yep.
And I rip on Stephen Ross a lot, but I'm really glad he kind of, because Brian Flores wanted Deshaun Watson real bad, like really, really bad. And I'm glad that did not come to fruition. Although Dolphins are kind of in a bad spot now, but not as bad as Cleveland Browns.
No.
Shadur's just a bad quarterback. Dalen Gabriel, they took him in the third round, and he wasn't even a factor in this terrible quarterback battle. So that was a stupid pick. And then you take Shadur later that draft. But
made no sense why they passed Shadur, passed over him like three times.
Yeah. He's not going to be really an NFL quarterback, I don't think. He probably went to the worst possible spot, though. If he was hoping, he probably would have wanted to go to like a from the Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan tree, where you go Matt LaFleur. He's a quarterback guru.
If you remember, and now Harbaugh's not there anymore in Baltimore, but Baltimore wanted to take him, and he wasn't interested in sitting behind Lamar.
I do remember that. Yeah. Now he's sitting behind a very bad Deshaun Watson. They have potential to be, I don't know if any team's going to go 0-17, but if I'm choosing the team to do it, it's probably going to be them.
Arizona's not going to be good either.
Arizona's bad too. Dolphins are going to be bad too. 2-15, baby. I keep saying that.
They're going to start off 3-0.
If they start off 3-0, I think.
You keep saying that because you keep saying that.
I know. I don't. They start in Vegas. And then they play. Then they play San Francisco. I don't think they're going to win that one. I don't know.
San Francisco.
Yeah. Some more NFL news today. Their owner, billionaire, decided to head to a trailer park and tried to pick up a prostitute. I don't know when it happened, but he got arrested today, or at least it broke today. So he was in some hot water in East Palatine, Ohio. So
I could say a lot of things, but I'm not going to because I don't want to get in trouble by the IC Sports Network and the FCC. I just could say a lot of things about how much money he has.
Exactly. And
this is what you're doing type of thing.
So that can be left on
that. I'll let everybody fill in the blanks of what Tanner wants to say.
The Niners are in some hot water, although I don't know how much of a distraction that'll be to the team because who cares?
You're right.
The owner. Right. Him and Robert Kraft can hold meetings together, I guess. But
some of these billionaires and these owners just blow my mind.
Yeah. Raiders thought they lost Ashton Jaunty? I still don't know how to pronounce
Jaunty. Jaunty.
For the season. They even had formed like a little prayer circle around him. Turned out he only sprained his ankle.
Yeah, the naked Nate Sally blew his knee out.
I thought he's going to be out 18 months is what it made it sound like.
And everybody online, which I agree with these takes, is like, this is why you don't draft until Labor Day.
Yes.
I agree with that, though. This is why you don't 100%. Hold fancy drafts as early.
Have you seen that video going around where this guy loved Ashton Jaunty, and he took him number one overall, and his whole, like, his draft mates are like, are you kidding me? You took him that early? And then, of course, this happens. And he's probably still going to be out a while, but he's not going to be out the whole season. Shouldn't be, anyway.
Right. So – other than that, not a whole lot going on in the NFL. Last week of preseason, this week. It is interesting to me to see how teams manage the preseason with their players playing time now. That's three games and not four, even though it's been three games the last couple of years. But I feel like everybody handles it a lot differently than they used to.
Yeah. Malik Willis has thrown five passes for the Dolphins. Didn't even play in game two, which I think is stupid. He's a guy that needs reps. Devon Achane, you played him first game. There's no need to play him again. But right. Malik Willis is a guy I think you need to play. That's just
He needs some reps.
That's my opinion. So we'll see if he plays game three or not.
The Broncos, Bo Nix did not play game one. Played game two against the Packers. Looked good. 6 for 9, touchdown. 14 plays. And it's funny, Sean said before the game, he's going to get 14 plays. Uh-huh. And that's exactly what he got. The two drives happened to go 14 total plays.
That's lucky.
But I don't know if he'll play at all against Minnesota Friday night or not.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't.
Yeah. They kind of got a battle going on for quarterback number two, even though I don't think it's really a battle. I think Jarrett Stidham's still going to beat out Sam Ellinger pretty easily, but some people call it a battle. I don't think it's a battle.
Yeah. Yeah, but then elsewhere, anything else happen?
Mendoza threw an 80-yard pick six.
I did see that.
The Texans.
You throw late over the middle in the NFL, and he's
not
going to
start
hurt.
The season anyways. So
he's not.
They didn't play Kirk at all in game two. So
gonna roll with Kirk Cousins. Maybe Dolphins will win game one.
You're paying him a lot of money. I don't know. I think they're paying him quite a bit for a 2-year deal. Let me look it up. But I would laugh, even though it'd be awful because I can't stand him. I would laugh if they get off the hot start with him, because then what do you do?
Yeah.
Looking up his contract.
Dolphins did it a few years ago where they were like 5-2 or 6-3, and they moved on from Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He signed a 5-year, $172 million deal with the Raiders.
With the Raiders?
Yeah.
That's not the same. Man.
But it functions effectively as a 1-year, fully guaranteed $20 million deal for this season.
Did they just...
It's a five-year, $172 million deal on paper, which includes a 2-year club option worth $80
million. He has the
greatest.
It's
guaranteed $20 million this year.
Greatest agent in the history of sports. There's no way that guy should be making $400 million in a career, and here he is. Never won anything. Never done anything. That's crazy. Yep. Good for him.
Yep. Good for him, indeed. So, but now I'm just ready for meaningful NFL football to come.
I'm sure the players are too.
Close, man. Two weeks from Wednesday.
Yay.
Which is weird to say. The season kicking off on a Wednesday.
In Australia.
Wednesday, and then you got a Thursday night game, and then Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, they need to stop. It's getting oversaturated. The greatest thing about the NFL, you knew they were going to play Sunday, Monday, and I'll even throw Thursdays in there, but now you're having them on games played on Tuesday, Wednesday, some Friday. It's too much. It's too much.
Also too much is NFL players going back to college to play college
football. That is another. Yeah, that's another thing. We had
and the same thing in basketball. I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's I even saw a report this week. I forget who it was, but they said that NFL players that had just graduated college are asking their teams to release them now so they can go back if they're going to, you know, instead of waiting until the last minute to release them, just waive me now and I can go back to school. But
you know what's funny though, like players that want to do that, they have good seasons in colleges and can call it at college. You might have just burnt your bridge with a lot of those NFL teams.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because the NFL doesn't care.
Although, yeah. But at the same time, the NFL doesn't care. And if you're good, you're still going to
be there.
But it's a mess. And we'll see if they are actually allowed to play. I still don't know. One day you hear, yeah, everyone's allowed to play. The next day a judge says no. The next day a judge says yes.
It just doesn't make sense to me. It has to end. Everybody's college time ends at some point in their life.
Yeah.
Whether you want it to or not, it does. And if you're on an NFL or NBA roster at any point, summer league, training camp, you should be done. Your eligibility should be over. Like,
that's
you made a career decision.
Yeah, I heard Dan Lanning talk about it today, Oregon's head coach. He said, once you're in the NFL, you're in the NFL. You're done. Like, regardless if you're a fringe roster guy, if you decide to go to the NFL or if you graduate, you're done. Like, And I'm okay with like doing the five year to play five seasons, stuff like that. But you can't, you have to draw a line. I know it sucks for the guys that just graduated because they did kind of get screwed because the class before them, you know, got the COVID year or two classes before, whatever it was. And now the next class gets the five, but
is what, which it is. Maybe looking back on it, maybe they should have never done the COVID year.
No, they shouldn't have.
I know it sucked, and they thought they were doing the right thing at that time.
Yeah.
But, like, high schoolers didn't get an extra year. They lost out on.
Yeah, they lost out. So. Yeah, that stinks, but such is life.
And then the poor – we've been over it a million times. They just went, like, chips all in on three decisions right after the pandemic, and it was too much.
Yeah, the NCAA has no power at all.
Nope.
Zero. So
okay, even when they try to, everybody takes them to court.
I want to look like 5 years into the future, see if it's finally calmed down. Because we've been talking about this for 3 years now. Like, eventually it'll come. Well, it hasn't yet. It's gotten
worse and worse and worse.
So it seems like there'd be a line where it's like, okay, this is like rock bottom, but it keeps hitting it. So I don't know when that could be.
It's embarrassing for college sports right now. In my opinion. It's just embarrassing. Like,
and I respect the coaches that don't take these fifth-year guys, but you have the low integrity guys like a Lane Kiffin who, you know, just picked up.
He's the main one.
Lane Kiffin, Nate Oates. They're two of the scummiest bags in college sports, and they're the ones that are doing this. Will Wade as well is another one. I mean, he picked up Don Dent this
LSU's week. Culture, man.
It is, yeah. What did I read today? The guy who just got waived by the Browns, who then committed to LSU to play for Lane Kiffin, he played at Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin. And after the season, after, of course, Lane took the LSU job, this player ripped Lane Kiffin, called him like the worst of the worst, all of that. Now here he is playing for him again.
Yep. It's just Lane's also got a former Ole Miss D lineman that was on the Saints coming to LSU too.
Yeah.
I agreed with what Ryan Day said. He's like, I don't like this at all. I don't agree with it, but he's like, if other teams are doing it, we have to at least look into it.
Sure.
If you're Ohio State level, you probably do have to look into it.
The reality of the situation is, though, the guys that are coming back to college were not good enough for the NFL, likely 100%. Anyway.
That's why they're getting cut.
They're probably not going to be a huge impact.
Yeah.
So it's probably not even going to be that big of a deal. But right now, it feels like it is a huge deal.
It's just crazy to me. We're sitting here on August 24th, and a lot of these programs don't even know what their full roster looks like.
I know.
Yeah. And they're playing a game, if not this week, next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wild, man.
I hate it. I hate it.
I hate it too. Sometimes I think to myself, like, man, if I didn't grow up in such a diehard college fan base culture, like in a home, and then go to that school, where would my fandom be for college sports right now? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
But probably wouldn't be different. But
I mean, I'm the exact opposite of you, and it's not different. So, I didn't go to that school, nor do I have any family members that went to that school, nor did I grow up in the state in which
But your dad liked that school.
Yes, my dad grew up in the state and was an Illinois fan, so I kind of followed.
So you watched games together and stuff.
Sure.
I don't know. I just
every day I kind of wish I didn't. After each loss of any of my teams, like, man, why couldn't I have been like into cars or something or something, or like,
then he would have been blowing money left and right trying to restore cars.
Fair. It just seems way less. It's stupid to even call it stress because we can't control it. Like, we just watch it. But here I am on the edge of my seat cussing out my TV for no reason.
Living and breathing on every pitch.
Yeah.
Come August.
As I said, every August, it's the exact same way. And this weekend was by far, I would say, the worst it's been in 2 years for me, at least.
It's just two wild. They lose two games they shouldn't have lost, and then they put up 19 runs.
Yeah. That's I'm glad they bounced back. So I'm like, I was pulling a Frank the Tank. I'm like, they're going to lose out. They're the 2025 Mets. And they go out and win 19-2. So. I need to settle down.
They're going to make the playoffs, Josh. You got to
should.
You got to have a chance.
They get swept against the Arizona Diamondbacks this week, though, and all of a sudden they're only like two games up in a playoff spot. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But no, they're fine. They're fine.
It's interesting looking at the standings. The AL is a cluster.
That's terrible.
For the wild card. Yeah. Then the NL is a little more spaced out.
Yeah. In fact, the Houston Astros are tied and currently would be in the playoffs in the NL West. And they are 65-66. And they fired their general manager today and told their manager that he was not going to get a contract extension, but he's going to play out the season as their manager. They're winning the division, but they're one game under 500. That shows you. Then you have the NL Central or AL Central. You have the White Sox 6 games over 500, 3.5 games up.
Yeah, they're just fighting people left and right. That's all
they are. Yeah, they're fans. They are, and I said this last week. They are the White Sox fans are the Raiders fans of the of Major League Baseball, where they get in fights like that.
Similar team colors.
Yeah. You know, they finally have some success and people start showing up and they think they can start throwing bows and stuff. And I just don't get it. Now, the AL East is loaded.
Yep.
You have the Rays that are 24 games over 500, Yankees 18 over, Red Sox 12 over. So that's a fantastic division. The Blue Jays are still hanging in there at 4 games under 500. With how bad the American League is as a whole, they're only a game and a half out of a playoff spot right now. So the current playoffs would be the Rays, White Sox, and Astros as division leaders. And then you would have two teams under 500 that would be in the playoffs currently today. Actually, three teams because wait a second. No, two teams under 500 in the playoffs in the American League, which is just pathetic because then you switch to the National League. You have Brewers 31 games over 500, Dodgers 29 games over 500, Braves 21 games over 500, Cubs 19 over, Phillies, who are on fire right now. I think they've won 9 in a row. They are 15 games over. Padres are 11 games over. Diamondbacks are 2 games out of a playoff spot. They're 7 games over 500. Marlins 3 games over. Cardinals right at 500. So the National League is just loaded. And it stinks that it's always loaded, it feels like. I just want 1 year, like what the White Sox are dealing with this year, where the rest of the division is under 500. Cubs would be winning that division. Even if the White Sox were in the same division as the Cubs, Cubs would be like 9 games up, 7, 8, 9 games up in the NL Central, but here they are 6 games out of the NL Central. It was an interesting week. 3-3. The first series was awesome against the White Sox. I mean, they won 2 games on a walk-off, including Pete Armstrong might have had his MVP moment, hitting a leadoff homer on the first pitch of the game in game one, then ending the game with a walk-off homer, final pitch of the game, which he became the first player since 2010 to hit a leadoff homer and a walk-off homer in the same game. And he became the first player since 1957 to hit a homer on the first pitch of the game and the last pitch of the game. And that streak held until Saturday when Randy Arozarena did the exact same thing against the Cubs. Hit a homer on the first pitch of the game, then he hit a walk-off homer against them. Cubs probably should have got swept by the White Sox, honestly, but they found a way to win 2 of 3. Then go to Seattle, and you feel like you probably should have swept. So kind of evens out a little bit, as much as the two losses Friday and Saturday night stung. Friday night, they went 1 for 16 with runners in scoring position and just couldn't come up with a big hit. They still forced extra innings because Alex Bregman hit a 2-out, 2-strike homer to tie the game in the top of the 9th inning. And then in the bottom of the 10th, they could not get a guy who was hitting 137 out. He had a single, RBI single, to end the game. And then on Saturday, they were pretty much in complete control. Up 4-2, nobody on, 2 outs, bottom of the 9th inning, and you give up a double. And then again, the guy hitting 137 coming into Friday hits a little bloop single. Then Randy Arozarena hits a walk-off 2-run homer. That was a dark, dark day for me. I was just not happy, especially after how they lost Friday night. That just stung. 1 for 16 with runners in scoring position is just horrible. But then yesterday they found themselves that Randy Arozarena lead off homer again. Cubs get down 2-0. And then they were able to put up, 19 runs, including, I think they put up 11 runs in the final 2 innings or something like that. Now, a lot of those came off a position player, but still, it counts. So But this week, they have at Arizona for three, and then they come home to play the Cincinnati Redlegs.
Oh, there you go. At least got the Reds to fall back on.
Yeah, they're 6-1 against the Reds this year, so hopefully that trend can continue. And they're 4-0 at home against the Reds. And the Reds are kind of maybe going through the motions right now, and hopefully that continues. But we will see.
Looked like it against the Cardinals that one game last week.
Yeah, they should have won. They should have split. I think it was a 4-game series, and fairly easy fly ball to end the game. And Dane Myers dropped it out in left center, and 2 runs scored. And then Cardinals get up 10-4. They scored 5 more runs that inning. Reds came back and put up 5 themselves, and the final score was 10-9. So it was a wild one.
And they left what, 2 guys on base?
Yeah, 2 guys on base late. Yeah, it's getting time. I think there's only 30-ish games left, 32 games left, something like that. It's go time, baby.
So predict the playoff teams for me.
As of right now, I'm going to say National League is going to be let's see if I can pull up Baseball Reference again.
Brewers, Dodgers, Braves.
Yeah, Brewers, Dodgers, Braves. Although, watch out for the Phillies in the NL East. But I'm going to say Braves win the East, Brewers win the Central, Dodgers win the West. Wild card's where it's interesting, obviously. I think Cubs will make it, Phillies will make it, and then I'm going to go with the Padres. I just don't think Arizona has the pitching to do it. Good team. They can get hot. But I think in the National League, if the season ended today, I think the playoffs would be what it would be at the end of the season. American League, it's hard to predict the NL East, but I'm going to go with the Rays. It's easy to pick the
incumbent. I think the Rays will win it. I think the Rays will win it.
I do too. Yankees will make it. Red Sox will make it. I'm going to say the White Sox are going to make it just because the rest of that division stinks. I want to say Seattle. They're 7 games under, only 3 out, though. I think they are the best team in that division. They have just stunk. Cal Raleigh has stunk. Give me Seattle, though. I think they're capable of getting hot and are better than those two teams there. I'm hoping. And then maybe the last wildcard team, maybe Texas Rangers, maybe Cleveland. I might go Toronto, honestly. They're only
I can't believe they're back in the mix.
I know, they are. Especially after selling at the deadline. Vlad has not hit a homer in a regular season at home since last August.
What's happened to him and Cal Raleigh? They've just fallen off.
Yeah, I don't know. Raleigh might have been kind of a flash in the pan sort of deal. Obviously, a catcher hitting 60 homers is crazy. But the previous 2 years, he hit like 30 each year. But this year, he's just been terrible. I don't know what it is. Vlad's a weird one, though, because he had a couple great years. And he only had
great in the postseason last year.
Yeah, he was. 7 homers total this year or something like that.
Baseball's funny, man.
It is. Year to year. You never know what you're going to get. But I think that's all I got for baseball this week.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into our preview, do you want to get educated?
I need it. It's definitely a Monday. My gosh.
Yes, it is. On this day in 1877, American outlaw John Wesley Hardin, wanted for murder, is arrested by Texas Rangers on a train in Pensacola, Florida. I don't know why that's in the sports category.
I was going to say, what did that have to do with sports?
I don't know. You know what? Their algorithm or whatever, or maybe not algorithm, but they saw Texas Rangers and they put it in the sports category.
Yeah, I kept waiting for the
AI.
Sports part to
I was just like, oh, American Outlaw, and I just started reading it without even vetting it. Well, that doesn't make any sense. But
I thought maybe he got arrested in attendance at a game or something.
Well, when I scanned it, I'm like, oh, the Texas Rangers. Maybe he was on the Texas Rangers train, but Texas Rangers weren't a franchise in 1877. So that was a pointless one.
Hey, I learned something, though.
Me too. Yeah, something that I will probably not even remember tomorrow.
Couldn't even pass a quiz on it in 10 minutes, probably. But
on this day in 1918, the Chicago Cubs won the earliest pennant ever. Season ends on September 2nd back then.
Wow.
On this day, In 1919, having pitched into the ninth inning, Cleveland's Ray Caldwell is flattened by a bolt of lightning, but goes on to record the final out for the Indians 2-1. Wow. He got struck by lightning and stayed in the game.
I'm good, Skip. Stayed in. Feel hot now.
Yeah. On this day in 1945, MLB's Cleveland Indian ace Bob Feller returns from serving in the U.S. Navy, and he struck out 12 batters. It's a pretty good return.
Yeah, no kidding.
On this day, oh, this is an interesting one. 1951, Bill Veeck's MLB St. Louis Browns hold Grandstand Manager's Day as coaches hold up placards, geez, for fans to vote on strategy options.
It's kind of like what the Akron Zips football
it's exactly,
doing this year.
Crazy thing was they actually won. On this day in, let's see here, we're in the 70s now. A lot of regular season baseball stuff. Who won the PGA Tour Players Championship on this day in 75?
Players Championship was played in August back in 75? Yeah. Let's go with 75. Let's go with Jack.
Al Geiber.
Never heard
Geiber? Geiber? On this day in... Ch-ch-ch-ch. 1989, Pete Rose was suspended from Major League Baseball for life due to gambling.
Yep. And if he ever gets in the hall, it'll be too late because he wouldn't see it.
He did.
Live, yeah.
On this day in, not a ton. 2008, Summer Olympics in Beijing become the most watched event on TV ever, with nearly 5 billion viewers, which is 70% of the world's population.
I think that was the year I kind of got into it more than any other year.
The 2008 basketball team won gold on this day as well, led by LeBron James, Chris Paul, and Kobe Bryant. Also Darren Williams.
One of those guys is still playing.
Yeah, that's crazy. Have you ever seen the photo? Or no, it's a video where the Team USA is eating at a Wendy's in a gas station. And it's just in this Wendy's, people are just like up at the cash register, not even knowing it's LeBron James, Dwight Howard, Darren Williams, Chris Paul, Chris Bosh, all just sitting at a Wendy's in a gas station. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Even if you didn't know who they were.
Yeah, I know.
By looking at their heights and their build, you would think, oh, those are athletes of some sort.
Yeah.
They're probably wearing USA gear, but
yeah. Who won the Tour Championship on this day in 2025?
My God, who won the Tour Championship last year? Is that Rory?
Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh, Tommy Fleetwood. His only PGA Tour win.
I was going to say it was his first career PGA Tour win, which is crazy because
he's always in the hunt.
It seems
always
like he's a big name. You hear about him all the time. He's never won one.
That's great. My dad and I were talking about him last week. We think he's the best golfer ever to only have one tour win.
Huh. How old is he?
He has to be. Let me see how old Tommy is. 35. He's still got time.
Oh.
He's in his prime right now.
He's younger.
It's usually your primes and your 30s for golf. So,
unless you're Jordan Spieth.
No top 10s this year, J-Man. Incredible. Didn't make the final 50. Yeah, I don't know what. I think it's a case of an athlete having too much success.
Could never replicate. But he's pretty dang good.
Yeah, and he's one of the only players I've seen keep the same caddy. Like, he's still got the same guy on his bag that he always has, and that's pretty rare.
Especially when you start struggling. It seems like you don't want to switch something up.
Yep. So, good list. Good list today. The On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing. All right, so we are not only previewing the ACC today, we are also previewing a team that's like half a member of the ACC.
They're pretty much in the ACC.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish, which brings me to my blind ranking segment for the week. Notre Dame's known for a lot of things in football. One thing I've always said is they are a tight end factory. They just produce stud tight end after stud tight end, and most of them go on to have pretty good pro careers too. Which Tim Brown was a wide receiver at Notre Dame, then turned tight end in the pros. But I have five tight ends here that have played in our lifetime and played in the 2000s, 2010s, 2020s. And I want you to rank them based on their collegiate career, I guess. If you want to throw NFL in there, I don't care. All of them are decent pros. Nobody's been a great one, I would say. But we will start off with Tyler Eifert, who played tight end at Notre Dame from 2009 through 2012.
Man, he was good. Was he a first-round pick, too?
Yes, by the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals. College career, he was awesome. He was much better in college than he was in the NFL. So I'm going to put him at two is where I'm going to put him.
Anthony Fasano played at Notre Dame from 02 through 05.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Anthony Fasano. He's a long, long time Miami Dolphin, including on their 08 team where he caught a touchdown in a win or go home game in New York against Brett Favre there, and Dolphins made the playoffs. College career, though, I mean, tight ends didn't really catch the ball a lot back in the early 2000s.
And he was in an interesting spot in Notre Dame. Like, he played for Willingham and Weiss.
And Charlie
And they
Weiss,
started to be coming pretty good at the in his senior year in 05.
I'm going to put him at four. That's where I'm going to put him.
I remember he hurdled a dude under Weiss against, against Willingham at Washington. That was kind of the highlight. I remember like the one play that stands out to me. Kyle Rudolph, 08 through 2010.
Yeah, he was good. He's the one that saved me a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's I think about. So, game in 09.
Yeah, senior year of high school, I made a bet with Tanner. It was like – and it wasn't even a bet because I wouldn't – I didn't get anything even though
I was so confident.
I was so confident. I said, if Purdue beats Notre Dame, I will pay for your next 10 Wendy's trips.
10.
Which back then it probably wouldn't have hurt that much. Now it hurt.
I'd make sure it hurt too because I was off from Wendy's, my friend. Now,
and Kyle Rudolph, of course, catches the ball. Was that as time expired, or was there still a few seconds?
No, there was 30 seconds left. But it was
still down though.
It was Danny Hope called timeout.
Yes,
on third down, I believe. And Notre Dame was calling for the spike, and was your third down? Yeah. And then they didn't get, and then they got on fourth down because Danny Hope wanted to give his offense time.
He didn't trust his defense at
all.
He
didn't trust, no.
I'm going to put him at, I'm trying to think of Notre Dame tight ends that are really good. I'm going to put him one because I can't think of many. I'm sure there is one that it'll backfire on me, but I'm going to put him one.
Well, I had to leave some off. I can only pick five, and they've had more than five solid ones. Next one, John Carlson from 03 to 07.
He was solid. Don't really remember him all that much, though, but I do. I remember him enough. I'm going to put him five, though. I feel like the other guys you've named are bigger names anyway.
I thought you put Fasano at five.
Puts Fasano at four.
Four, okay.
Yeah.
And lastly, Michael Mayer.
Okay.
2020 through 2022.
Yeah, obviously he's my third slot. I thought he'd be. I mean, he kind of got a raw deal in Vegas because they ended up taking Brock Bowers. But I thought he was.
That's a heck of a 1-2 punch.
That is. Yeah, I thought he was on his way to having a very good career.
Yeah.
He still might, but I think I'm good with where I got him. I'm good with where
That's
I got
pretty
him.
Good. Yeah. I might have put Eifert one, Rudolph two.
That would be the only question, I think. Yeah. Eifert was better than Rudolph at Notre Dame, I would say.
One I left off was Kmet. On the Bears.
On the Bears.
A lot of others, though, good ones were 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had other solid ones, but these were the ones that kind of stuck.
They've put out, a lot of NFL.
I'm sure they got one or two of them right now on the roster. Probably.
Yeah, it always seems like Notre Dame and Iowa are the two tight end factories for the NFL.
Very, very true. Very true. But that is the blind ranking segment this week, which is brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2026 or 2027, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial prints. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. The Atlantic Coast Conference, which usually I'm like, not that great. This year I think it's going to be a pretty good conference.
Yeah, I do too. I think we have some teams that could be better than they were last year anyway, mainly Clemson. I think in Florida State could be better as well. But in Virginia Tech, you know what? I'm just going to go talk about when we do our predictions. I don't know why I started now. Do you want to start with Notre Dame and do that preview first, or do you want to go 17 through 1?
It's your call, my friend. 17's still weird. Why not?
It is. Yeah, it's crazy. Let's do Notre Dame just to do that one. They are my national title pick. That would be horrible for you, for sure. Living in the state of Indiana and not being a fan of either of those teams, but
only way I'd root for them is that they played Indiana again. Indiana. That's the only way.
You've said it on previous shows, if they can't do it this year, or at least, I don't know, this is as good of a chance as they have. CJ Carr, I think he will probably be a top two or three candidate for the Heisman. If
I picked him to win the Heisman.
Top one, in fact. Prediction. Yeah, I think I have, I said a Big Ten
player. He's a Big Ten player, yeah.
But in my preview here, I said CJ Carr is my Heisman pick.
Yeah.
Leading receivers back, Jordan Faison. They did lose both their running backs, Jeremiah Love, to the Cardinals, and Jadarian Price. Yeah. Both first rounders, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure they have another five-star stud back there. Defense will be great. I think Marcus Freeman will get them to a much higher level than Brian Kelly ever could. So we'll see if Ohio State ever opens, if he'd be interested to jump. But Notre Dame's just as good of a job.
Or NFL,
yeah.
And, you know, I don't like Brian Kelly. I think he's an awful human being. Yes, but I do think people forget how good a coach he was at Notre Dame at times. I mean, he got him to a national title game when it was just two teams made it, mm-hmm. and they lost to Alabama. And then he got him to another four-team playoff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he did have a few bad years, but he was there forever.
He is there a long time. I mean, he's their all-time leading win in wins, isn't he? All-time leader?
It's him or Rockney.
I want to say it was Brian Kelly. I might be wrong.
Probably though. Right.
But
Freeman's done an excellent job since he got there and took over the gig. Mm-hmm. Their schedule looks pretty soft on paper.
Oh,
you kind of circle two games, possibly three. I would circle three. A lot of people circle at BYU, mm-hmm. Miami at home. But I think SMU is another tough one. SMU's I think good. SMU is going to be very good. But, you know, every Notre Dame fan I talk to, because I'm like, I tell them all, I hate your school. I hate the school you root for, I should say, because I haven't met a Notre Dame alum this year. But I was like, I think you guys are going to do it this year or have a good chance. They're like, I don't want to talk about it because I've got my expectations up way too many times before, and we've got Northern Illinois beat us or Marshall's beat us. Right? So you could always have somebody jump up and get them. Well, they're not looking, but if they don't make college football playoff this year, something went wrong big time.
Yeah, especially with that thing where if they're ranked in the top 12, they're in automatically. So
if they win 10 games, they're going to be in probably.
Probably.
They go 10-2. If they go 9-3, no. But
I'm with you.
But I got them going 12-0. I hate it, but I do.
Yeah, I think they'll go 12-0 as well.
Yep, I... I'll wait for my national championship pick next week. I got to figure out who I have making the playoff, who I've already said, and that make sure I don't have 12 teams getting in, because I think I put three from the SEC in last week. So you might have put four in.
I put three in.
Did you put
three in? Pretty sure. I have to go look again. Well, maybe I did before, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
But who you have finishing last in the ACC?
Stanford, 1-11, 0-9 in conference. They're going to be awful.
I did not do the playoff predictor for the ACC. I did for the Big Ten for next week. But, yeah, new coach, Tavita Pritchard. Andrew Luck is obviously their general manager. He's got his hands full. I don't know. It's just they might be screwed.
In the world of NIL, it's
– yeah, it's going to be hard.
I mean, they got tons of rich alum, but
– yeah.
It's going to be tough.
Yep. I have Boston College finishing 16th.
I got them 15th, 3-9, 1-7 in conference. I think Bill O'Brien's a good X's and O's coach, but that's tough. Tough job.
I wrote here, I'm way more interested in seeing their basketball team led by Bill Murray's son, Luke. That's about all I
have. I didn't even know he's their new coach.
Yeah, he's obviously a UConn assistant, and he is their head basketball coach now. So I'm way more interested in that than in their football program.
At 16, I have my guy, Coach Brown, in the Syracuse Orange.
I have them 15th, and the only thing I wrote on them was Tanner's boy, Fran Brown, is in a big year three.
They're both going into last year. He's getting good recruits, and it was not a good year two.
Yeah.
I don't think it's good. I got them 3-9, 1-8 in conference.
Yeah, they're going to stink.
Yeah.
Who you have finishing 14th?
I got Bill Belichick and UNC at 4-8, 2-6 in conference.
Yeah, Jordan Hudson returns as head coach in North Carolina. Bill should have hung it up years ago. Protects his legacy. That's what I say.
Yeah. It's weird on this thing how some teams play six conference or nine conference games and others play eight, but I have all of them with 12 game totals.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't know. So bear with me, everybody. This thing could have led me astray, but Bill's not going to, I don't think Bill comes to Ross Aid next year when the Boilermakers host the Tar Heels.
No, I mean, his GM got run off, Michael Lombardi, and he should have, just to protect his legacy, he should have just hung it up when, you know, it got bad in New England, just say, hey, that's okay, I retired.
I think he just wanted to show off how good a coach he is, or thought he was.
Yeah, and it's not maybe, going well. Maybe he was insecure and thinking, you know, well, maybe Tom Brady is the reason for this, and I think he was. I 100% think he was.
Yep.
So. You had them 14th?
Yep.
I had them 14th. I had Wake Forest 13th.
I got Wake Forest 10th. 6-6, 4-5 in conference. They're coming off a 9-win season.
Yes.
They lost a lot.
Yeah, Jake Dickert's first season last year. Gio Lopez comes in from North Carolina. He's quarterback. He was not very good last year. But I have them 13th for some reason. Who do you have finishing 13th?
I got Duke. 5-7, 3-6 in conference.
I have Duke 9th, so we're pretty close.
The reigning ACC champs.
Yeah, yeah. One ACC championship game last year. They did lose Darian Mensah to Miami. Brought in San Jose State quarterback who threw over 3,000 yards last season. So
Manny Diaz is a good coach.
He's a good coach. Yeah, yeah.
Tough job.
But, who you got finishing 12th?
I got Florida State 6-6, 3-5, and Norvell gets the axe.
I have Florida State 6th. So we are way off on this. The hottest seat in the country belongs to Norvell, right?
Yo, 100%.
Yeah, I think that thing's on fire. He can't even sit down.
There's a chance he might not make it through the season. But if they finish where you have them, he probably does.
Yeah. Ashton Daniels transfers in from Auburn. He played four games at quarterback last year. But they did lose, I think, their offensive coordinator, Gus Malzahn, to retirement or somewhere.
Retirement, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know why I have them 6th. I put them inside because I think the ACC stinks. But you obviously
they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of talent. And remember last year they beat Alabama week one.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone, they shot up to what, 10th in the country, 9th, 11th, something like that. And then they were just stinks. But
do you think college football is better when Florida State's good?
No. I don't either. I don't like when people ask or when people say so-and-so sports better when so-and-so is good. Yeah. I think it's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah. Even though Florida State's a great program, I couldn't care less about consider them in a blue blood.
No. So. No, I don't either. I have Cal finished 12th. New coach Tosh Lupoy Sophomore quarterback, I don't even want to try to pronounce, Jaron Kiwi Sagapalutele.
Kiwi, I'm calling him Kiwi.
Kiwi. That's probably not even how you pronounce the his hyphenated name. He did throw for 3,400 yards as a freshman last year. So, but they run off Justin Wilcox, who I thought was a very good head coach. But,
yeah, I remember watching them late in the season when they upset SMU.
Yeah.
And kept SMU kind of out of it.
And the fact that he kept getting Cal Bowl eligible is something, because that's a tough place job to win. Yeah.
Yeah. I have 8th at 7-5. Okay. 11th, I got Virginia at 7-5.
I have Virginia at 8. I have North Carolina State at 11th.
I have Virginia at 11th at 7-5. Yeah. Where the heck do I have North Carolina State? I got this saved in two very different files. I got North Carolina State at 4th at 8-4. I like Dave Doran, my friend.
14th season already. Can you believe that? 14 years.
Yeah. Amazing.
They have a good junior quarterback, TJ Bailey. He's 6'6", threw for 25 touchdowns, ran for 6 last year. But Dave Dorn keeps winning games and keeps getting contracts, obviously.
Their schedule's not too bad. If I remember looking at it, I think that's why I end up having them.
That's smart that you did it that way, because I'm not even looking at their schedule. I'm just putting them.
I don't hoping it sticks. Think they don't. They play one of the big boys in the conference, but there's two they don't get. I don't remember who those two are. That's why I think they ended up being where I had them.
Yeah. Who did you have 10th?
Wake Forest.
Okay. I have Georgia Tech 10th.
I have GT. I have them 7th at 7-5, 5-3. I like Brett Key.
He's revitalized that football program, but they did lose their do-it-all quarterback, Haynes King, to the NFL. Yes. He threw for 7,900 yards, ran for over 2,000 in his career.
Oh, he was awesome.
But did pick up Fernando Mendoza's brother, Alberto, to run the offense. Yes. So that'll be kind of
fun pressure,
to watch.
No pressure, kid.
Yeah, no pressure. Now, we say that because obviously he has pressure as brother, but playing at Georgia Tech, you really don't have that much pressure.
No, you don't. It's a tough job. I have always compared that job a lot to Purdue. Similar colors, engineering school, and you're looked at as the number two school in the state.
Yeah.
Which, well, football season, Purdue's like number three now.
Which is crazy.
At one time, still, it was number two.
Yeah.
But now number three. Are we at number nine? Is that where we're at? I have Pittsburgh at 8-4, but 5-4 in conference. That made them 9th in the SEC or the ACC.
Yeah, I have Duke at 9, and I have Pitt 7th. Pat Narduzzi already 12th year there.
Crazy. Which is also done wild. A good job.
They started out hot, remember, and then they kind of folded towards the end. But they do return their quarterback, Mason Heinchel, who threw for 16 touchdowns as a freshman last year. Also returned a lot on the OND lines, but lose 6 of their top 7 receivers. So,
and I believe I had Pitt starting off hot again and then kind of tailing off in the second half.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did last year. Who you have finishing 8th? You already said them.
I did already say them, and I already exited out of my file. It was it was Cal.
Oh, okay. I have Virginia. They played in the ACC championship game, which was surprisingly great season for them, because I think a lot of people picked them to finish in the bottom couple of the ACC.
I'm sure we did.
Last year's team was built entirely on the portal, so Tony Elliott decided to do the exact same thing. He brought in Bo Privula from Mizzou to be his quarterback.
He's a good one.
He is. Who you have finishing 7th?
Georgia Tech.
Okay, I have Pitt. Who you have finishing 6th?
I got Clemson at 9-3, but 5-3 in conference.
I have Clemson at number 2. For some reason, buying.
They're going to be good.
Yeah. Big year, though, for Dabo, I think. They started the year ranked 4th last year and ended up going 7-6.
They'll never fire him. He'll have to leave on his own.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you win too many titles to fire him, really.
Yeah,
they did bring in offensive coordinator Chad Morris, who was their offensive coordinator from 2011 to 2014, became a head coach at places, but he hasn't had a good offense since 2007.
Don't they have a huge week one game against somebody?
They usually not do.
Outside of conference.
No, they usually do. Man, if Purdue would have held on to all these transfers from 2 years ago,
they play Lane and LSU.
Oh, their defense would be pretty good. Will Helt, he's a stud for him. 17 tackles for loss last year. He had Thieneman was a first round. Was he a first round pick?
Yeah, by the Bears.
By the Bears. Man, they kept
Nick
Scorton
year before that.
Yeah.
I know.
kept some of those guys.
It's frustrating, man. Dang portal.
Yeah.
Who you have finishing fifth?
I got Virginia Tech and James Franklin. Yeah. I know in my bowl prediction, I have them making the playoff. I backed up looking at the schedule. I got them going 8-4, 6-3 in conference. I still think that's a heck of a turnaround.
Yeah.
The weirdest, there's a lot of weird coordinators coming back for the second.
This is the weirdest.
College football. The weirdest one's Pry. Yeah. Literally got fired, but stays at the school and switches positions to DC.
Yeah.
Weird.
I wrote here for both Louisville and Virginia Tech. I wrote for Louisville, Jeff Brohm will beat some great teams and lose to some bad ones.
That's exactly why they're not making the playoff. Yep.
James Franklin is the exact opposite, where they will murder the bad ones, but he will never beat the good ones. And that's been his issue at Penn State. I think Virginia Tech is a perfect fit for him, though.
He's going to get good recruits.
Yep. He significantly raises their floor. I think he has a definite ceiling, and I think he can get to a playoff. He did with Penn State. He did bring his offensive coordinator from Penn State over, Ty Howell, as well as quarterback Ethan Gronkmeyer. But yeah, Brent Pry sticking around is kind of weird.
Well, and I know he has history with Franklin at Penn State, but it's like, it's just, I've never seen, I've always thought it'd be interesting if it happened.
Wouldn't have to move. Yeah.
And now it happened. So,
yeah. A lot less pressure as a defensive coordinator. So maybe he can just be in the background.
Very true.
Who you have finishing fourth?
NC State.
Oh, that's right. I have SMU finishing fourth.
Yeah, SMU second.
Third-year starting quarterback Kevin Jennings returns. He's thrown for over 3,000 yards each of the past two seasons. He's
got a building named after him on campus.
I do remember hearing that. It's crazy. He's a really good one, though, and it's rare to keep guys for that long for that who's that good.
I have SMU in the conference championship game going 9-0 in the conference, 11-1, only loss being to Notre Dame. And even though I don't have them winning the conference, I have them getting in the playoff.
Who you got finishing third?
I got Jeff Brohm, Louisville Cardinals, going 9-3, 6-3 in conference, doing exactly what you said.
Yep.
They're going to upset some teams, but he's going to lose one or two games. You're like, what?
Yep.
That's just what he does.
That's what he does. Yep. They got brought in Ohio State quarterback Lincoln Kindholz to be quarterback. Really good running back duo. Isaac and Kiwan Brown combined for 1,600 yards last season. Brought in five new pass catchers and five offensive linemen in the portal. They also have new co-defensive coordinators. When have co-coordinators on anything ever worked? I don't ever remember. And Jeff Brohm likes to do it for some reason.
He does. Yeah, finally Ron English is not with them anymore.
So. Yeah.
His brother Brian still is. I don't think Brian's ever going to leave. I don't think he's ever going to go off his own.
Yeah.
Try to get a head coaching job. He tried to get all OCs out of other places, but it hadn't worked.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You have SMU second. I have Clemson second. So that means we both have Miami, the Canes, my Canes.
I'm going 9-0 in conference, 11-1. That one loss at Notre Dame. But I have them being SMU in the title game. Miami, SMU, both my representatives from the ACC in the.
Miami plays at Clemson and at Notre Dame, but they arguably have the best transfer addition in college football. Darian Mensah from Duke threw for 3,900 yards last season. He turned it over four times against Illinois, though, but that's here nor there. They also returned super sophomore Malachi Toney after an electric freshman year, as well as running back Mark Fletcher Jr., so they are absolutely loaded. Yeah.
Yep. Yep, absolutely they're going to be very good. So, Crystal Ball's got a good thing rolling down there.
This will be the J-Man's Bookie Prediction of the Week since I have not done one yet. TCU will beat North Carolina on Saturday. I think they're only 7.5-point favorites. I think they win by 28.
Do we have any other games that are worth predicting?
I think there's one other. We have NC State at Virginia.
NC State.
Give me
–
Virginia.
I have
NC State. That's a conference game.
Yeah. I have NC State losing to Vanderbilt. I noticed that today.
A Big Ten team plays on Saturday.
USC and San Jose State. It's the NBC night game.
Yeah, it starts at 2 p.m., though. So it's the NBC night game. It's the only NBC game, so maybe it is. Mm-hmm. They're 38.5-point favorites. J-Man's Book of British Week brought to you by Travis Watching Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, Farm Insurance. Contact us 219-869-4561. What ACC school, current ACC school, has the most NFL Hall of Famers?
I got three that come to my mind. Don't tell me if any of these are right or wrong, but three come to my mind. Miami, Florida, Florida State, and Pitt come to my mind. Now, choosing one of those three. I think Miami has the most draft picks out of those three. Florida State's pretty close, too. I'm going Pitt.
Man, you are on a roll. I'm telling you, you're cheating or something.
I thought Marino.
Man.
I thought
Tony Dorsett.
Yeah.
Shoot. I didn't think Pitt would even be on your radar.
Marino just, right? Pitt could go undefeated for 5 years, and I think Dan Marino. And then
I was going to do, you know, what schools. Two schools are tied. Do you want to take a guess at those? Two schools are tied for most.
Oh, just overall?
Overall.
Hall of Famers?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy. Ohio State and USC.
USC is one of them. Ohio State has 10. USC has 14. Notre Dame is the other one.
Ah, yeah, they got the most draft picks all time. USC second.
Son of a gun. Man, you got a commanding – man, it's getting late. We got 4 months left. I got to start making some moves here. But thanks for watching the TNA and J-Man Show. We'll be back at it next Monday with our Big Ten preview. Have a great week, everybody.